Yeah. Thank you. Next is Fernando. Fernando Velasquez. Fernando, are you here? Okay, well, in the meantime, we'll go on to Tracy. Tracy Larkin. Now, after Tracy is, I'm not sure, Susha Garlic? Susha Garlic?
I'd like to echo what Jonathan Markowitz said and what Rafael Renteria just said and what Bernie Eisenberg just said. And a lot of people know that we have been in opposing factions with each other amongst the Free Pacifica movement in L.A. for the last several years. And I think maybe I've made a mistake in placing my lot with the local advisory board who has allowed this liberal Democratic Party programming to continue and not done anything about it over all these years. If they could, they haven't. This has been going on forever. And there has been plenty of reasons that these people could be fired. There was a memo written in KPF, inside KPFK, by Mark Cooper, Susie Weissman, Barbara Osborne, John Weiner, and Terrence McNally, that slandered Michael Rupert, called him psychologically discharged from Los Angeles Police Department, which is a blatant lie. I have been following Michael Rupert's work for longer than I've even been a Free Pacifica activist, and everyone in L.A. knows I'm a pacifist and a peace activist. Mike Rupert is not a right-winger. There is what appears to me to be a COINTELPRO operation happening against him on a national level that's happening a lot within the Pacificum milieu. And I've been brushed off, as much as I've tried to talk about it, with members of the local advisory board. And I've been continually told that there's no time to discuss it. It's not very important. It's not a priority. But what it has to do with is more than Michael Rupert. What it has to do with is who's dominating the programming at KPFK and who has been ever since I've been a Free Pacifica activist. And I'm going to name the people that are mentioned in that letter. Ian Masters and Dan Pavlich were part of this advisement of vetting Michael Rupert and the lies. This could expose Pacifica to a lawsuit by Michael Rupert and also the Los Angeles, the LA Weekly, which also slandered Mike Rupert, which also employs Mark Cooper. They called him a defrocked cop after this memo internally at KPFK was written. I'd like to see something done to make justice at all five stations for Michael Rupert. He does not need to be debated by David Korn, Chip Berlay, Steve Rendell, Mark Cooper, or any of the other progressive opinion leaders who are all being paid separately from foundation money. And Michael Rupert is more listener-sponsored and reader-sponsored than Pacifica is at this point. So he needs to be, he is a progressive person, he's against war. And I'd like to see the board do something about it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll go back to Fernando.
I'd like to saludar la gente que nos escucha en Nueva York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Houston. I'd like to say hi to everyone listening out there. For those who do not know me, I have a 23 years association with the Pacifica Network. I used to co-produce a daily television show in Los Angeles. I spent 2.5 years doing low-budget movies, and I write for 4 publications in the Spanish language in Latin America. My experience in commercial television and the other affiliated mediums to television has led me to think that the Marshall-Mark Cooper Alliance at KPFK had the ability to have to transform what I used to know as a producer, a guy who does research, interviews, editing, mixing, does everything, one person, now as a volunteer. Now a producer at KPFK is a guy who gets paid to call whoever he wants, to choose the topic he wants and to write the questions for the person asking the questions on the studio on the air, and that's really, really unacceptable. Number two, the ban on the fire are like the Palestinian refugees who need to go back home, but somebody has taken their house. And thirdly, the 85,000 news stories every day on the wire services, it comes down to when you want to do a newscast, it's only a space about 15 or 20, what do you choose? What's your criteria to select what's the important story to cover? And a lot of us are left out. For the upcoming news director at KPFK, I'd like to suggest that we, 500 million of us, 40 million of people in this country, be included. Please do something about it. I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Very nice.
Okay, I missed some of the other comments. Boy, this thing doesn't sound very loud. Can everybody hear? All right. Okay. All right. My name is Sasha Karlick. I'm a listener in Los Angeles, KPFK listener. And let's see. Well, 2 minutes. A couple of things. These are suggestions that I'd like to make for all of the stations. But I think we should do our own census or our own demographic survey on the air, ask people to stand up, be counted, find out who we are so we can see ourselves in this mirror, who is the body of Pacifica listeners. And in that way, once we know who we are, we can begin to be a democratic organization, democratically run. And then we can know when we have elections who is voting, who we are. We can be represented as groups, as demographic groups, and not just say we have this collective and that collective arbitrarily assigned by a few people on a board or by station management, but we can say, okay, we know we have 10% of this group, 20% of this group, 14% of this group, and we can begin to see ourselves a little more clearly. Another thing regarding our outreach, regarding our ability to project ourselves out in the world to people who just don't listen to our stations, we need to do different kinds of media outreach. And this is a suggestion. We see all these these huge media conglomerates who own radio, television, billboards, newspapers, magazines. You know, it's like coming out of their ears. We need to diversify, get our own. Start out with simple, one billboard. Buy one billboard. Not lease it, not pay for advertising space. Buy one billboard in each listener area. And after that, get a second one and build on it. We can promote ourselves visually. That way we can create a lot more listeners. Thank you very much, and be more visible.
Okay. Thank you. All right, I want to, again, thank everybody for their comments and ideas and suggestions, and we will do our best to take those up as we discuss the various and sundry issues before us. We need to move this agenda. I just want to know, because there were several particular things raised, you know, this last set of comments, if Eva or Roy needed to respond to anything. Eva? I'm sorry, I'm not sure who you are.
I'm still here to speak.
Who are you?
My name is Dean Francois. I'm from Redondo Beach, California.
You took the list from earlier.
Well, I'm on the list, and whether you have a list or not, I'm here to speak, but I'm on the list.
All right, can you do it in 1 minute?
Impressive. 2 minutes, please. I'll try to do it in one, but really, I should have the opportunity to do two. Thank you very much. I must tell you, you know, I've worked for over 10 years in public radio in Los Angeles area. Why does that sign say 1 minute? I thought I had 2 minutes.
Can you try to do it?
Okay, but I really like to know, you know, I mean, if the timekeeper could give me two, that would be great. Thank you very much.
All right. Hear what you have to say.
You know, we have a problem here at KPFK, and the Pacifica Board needs to help us resolve it. We need democratic control of our airwaves, and it's as simple as that. And you've heard speakers come up here and speak about the fact that we're hearing pro-government reporting, we're hearing these types of things that don't represent the diverse community that Southern California represents, and that's what we want to see on our airwaves. Now, first and foremost, we need to get bylaws established, and we need to ensure that our local advisory board members are elected. elected by the members of KPFK. And there's no other way it can happen than that. And I hear management up there talk about, well, we need to move beyond this, what did I hear, combat mode that we're in. Well, you know, we're just trying to get a democratic mode, because that's what we're all about, and that's what America is all about. And this idea that, well, you know, we've had some healthy things going on in the past, and now we're moving on the road towards progress, well, we're not there yet. There's a lot that needs to be done. There's a lot more local programming, especially local programming that represents the local issues of Southern California, the ones we all care about. There are more than 60 cities just in Los Angeles County alone. And with 110,000 watts now broadcasting throughout the whole south end of the state, we need diversity. We need it there. We need it now. And we need your help to get there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Eva Georgia, the general manager of KPFK, will
speak. I think I've just created dead air.
Uh-oh. That's all right, Eva, I filled it.
I'm very proud that we are broadcasting the national meeting. Just a quick response, I'll be brief. The concerns that's been raised here today are real. The problems at KPFK are expensive. And there's, I guess, I've heard comments from people that for years the doors of KPFK was not open to people, that the GM was not reachable, that there was no accountability. And a lot of these things still exist. And I want, all I want to do here today, right now, this moment, is say, we're open. We're here to try and resolve the problems. I think the mic is off. I want to invite all the voices that have spoken here today to come and in a constructive manner, help us to resolve the problems. You know, it will take time, and we can do little by little, but we would like to just ask you to come in, embrace you, know that you have the opportunity to speak your voice. And even if you have a different view and opinion, that doesn't mean that we're going to exclude you. We want to create inclusivity. We want to create the diversity that we all talk about. But we ask you to come forward and do it in a constructive way with us. I'll also have my GM report on July 1st. I have spoken and suggested that we do bylaws discussions on the air as well as lab reports. And we just, little by little, step by step, we're going to try and move KPFK in a more positive direction. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Thank you. Okay, we are shifting gears now. We're shifting on the agenda item. Moving the agenda along. Let me suggest that for the next chunk of time here, I don't know exactly how much time it's going to be, this is going to be board discussion, right? So you can jump up and down all you want, but there's a body of work that we need to attend to here, and then we'll come back to community comment again. Okay? I just wanted to make that clear. So we want to start with a report from our treasurer, Jabari Zakiya. We had designated a half an hour for this. Jabari, if you could tighten it up any amount, that would be great. Even 5 minutes, if you could slice off it, that'd be great. Sorry.
Hi.
Okay, Jabari.
Hi.
Mike.
1, 2, 3, 4. Testing.
No, give him another mic.
Hello.
Okay.
Hi. I'm Jabari Zakiya, the treasurer for the Interim Pacifica National Board from Washington, D.C. lab. I'll just read the report. It's 7 pages. Then people who have questions can ask questions. This report is primarily covers the period of March, from the March PNB meeting in L.A. to the present. Its purpose is to provide a review of specific issues I feel are important and to address the Pacifica National Board and to inform the public about. This report will not get into detailed discussions of the foundation, budget, audit, or debt reduction specifics. These topics will be specifically addressed by the ED in audit reports, and there will be specific time allotted to discussion on the agenda. I have addressed the following items in alphabetical order. Accounting software. Training was conducted for the Great Plains Dynamics 6.0 accounting software from April 10th to 12th, 2002. Its purpose was to train all the business managers and finance office personnel in the use of Dynamics. Also attending were myself, Valerie Van Isler, General Manager of New York, Brian Gibbons, a staff member in the National Office, and E.D. Dan Coughlin for the first day. Training was given by Applied Accounting Technology of Fairfax, Virginia. By all accounts, it was excellent and elevated the participants to a much higher level of productivity with the software. Networking and phone line issues prevented some of the units, most notably New York at the time, from becoming fully operational until the middle of May. Currently, all units can manage their financial operations over the Internet through the Central Services Finance Office in D.C. When the telephone line was cut that Tony Regustis talked about, that cut that service down because that was our Internet link. As I wrote this on June 6th, Pacifica Radio Archives couldn't write their own checks to pay its bill. They needed to get a printer, which had the right toner to do the checks electronically, which must be done by the finance office until it receives its printable check stock. I'm also assessing the migration of our present accounting software to a system which runs on the Linux operating system. The current software runs on the Microsoft Windows, which puts us in a security and financial bind. The whole financial office has already gone down once on Christmas Eve 2001 because a virus hit, and Microsoft announces of a new licensing scheme for all the software, including operating system and application, will greatly increase the cost of operation of our current infrastructure if we don't seek less costly alternatives now. Audit. On April 22, 2002, the audit of fiscal year 2001 was started by Ross Wisdom and his assistant from the accounting firm of Kimmerling, Margolis, and Wisdom from New York City. This is the same accounting firm which conducted a preliminary assessment of Pacifica's financial situation in January this year and submitted a report and recommendations to the Interim Pacifica National Board dated February 9, 2002, which is on the net. The big issue for the audit is the extraction of data out of the old Solomon accounting system, software system, which resides physically on its own computer, and the conversion and importation of that data into the Dynamics software system. Again, Applied Accounting Technology was contracted to do the data conversion and importing. They also are contracted to do report creation for analysis and presentation of data. The finance office, Yasmin and 3 to 4 staff people, Yasmin is our controller, had to work long overtime and on weekends just to identify, find, process, and reconcile old accounts and transactions to make them audible. When I mean weekends, they were there to 6 a.m. in the morning, 12 a.m. in the morning, up until actually coming to this meeting. This included the necessity of having the business managers from New York and the Pacifica Radio Archives, specifically Indra and Mariana, and the business manager for WPFW to come to the finance office in D.C. to assist with the grunt work involved in the process. In other words, just finding documents and paper and reconciling transactions. Presently, the auditors still need information but are scheduled to release a report probably now in late July or August. Ross Wisdom, who is here, will make a report on that. Banking. All units have operating accounts which they can write checks against to pay their own bills. Within the current, noted exception of Pacifica Radio Archives. There is also a serious need to assess making the banking structure more efficient by evaluating the consolidation of all the units' accounts under one bank, or at least creating more efficient and accessible electronic banking. I have had a proposal from one national bank since February to consolidate our banking activity. It needs to be thoroughly reviewed, and other possible proposals need to be sought out. Budgeting process. In April, all the units submitted their proposed FY 2002 budgets. Yasmin, our controller, compiled this information into a proposed FY 2002 national budget. The proposed budget was presented to the Interim Pacifica National Board in writing and discussed via a conference call meeting on May 8, 2002, along with accountant Ross Wisdom. This proposed FY 2002 budget still needs to be ironed out. The presentation of the information was not given to the finance office in a standard format from each unit. Accounting codes need to be modified for consistency. Line items weren't consistent, and expenses and revenues listings weren't consistent. Also, the general managers and business managers for each unit need to create their own budgets together. Each budget should then be reviewed by the national office, that is the ED and the controller, to assess its financial accuracy and reflection of reality, as well as its adherence to local or national imperatives. This can also be done in conjunction with each local advisory board finance committee. Then the Pacifica National Board Treasurer and Finance Committee should review the whole budget for financial realism and mission consistency and compatibility. As it stands, the proposed FY 2002 budget has not been scrutinized to the level necessary to assess its financial accuracy and mission compatibility. Also affecting this exercise is the effect of the professional services debt the corporation inherited pursuant to past litigation. I give two examples. Example one, the fund drives used too many vendors, which cost too much money, which reduced the net realized revenue or fulfillment revenue from the fund drives. It's not just how much money is received, but also how fast and when it's received. We must wean listeners off material premiums and replace costly vendors with PRA and other less expensive premium alternatives. We should promote the programming as the product, not CDs, books, and T-shirts. Example two, budgeting should realistically reflect mission requirements. A cursory assessment of WBAI and WPFW budgets for a, and I put in parentheses, local news department in the line item, shows a disparity in the monthly money allocated to provide this activity. BAI budgeted $208 per month for the full year for a, quote, news department, while WPFW allocated $1,000 a month, but that only started in June of this year for the same line item. But what do these news departments purport to do? And it would seem logical that New York, being much larger in area population than D.C., will require more resources in order to produce local news for a larger area population. Also, these allocations presumably do not account for the personnel to do the news in each case. What we need to do is create a better accounting matrix which allows for specific station activities departments to be tracked in a clearer manner. And I had a chart showing how you would track activities in over the different accounting line items. This kind of report accounting can easily be done if the major sub-accounting fields of our software are designed to accommodate the kind of granularity we need to make the data conform to how we need to view it. In all activities outside of radio broadcasting, there are none, and have never been, any management budget resources to promote other elements of the Pacifica mission. This needs to be rectified. Debt reduction. It is my opinion that Pacifica needs to eliminate professional service debt as soon as possible, targeting toward FY 2002. Presently, and this was done June 6, there exists about $1.6 million outstanding. There is planned for a National Day of Programming, which occurred, and fund for June 19th, and other specific debt programming. Until this debt is eliminated, it will continually act as an anchor, dragging on the seafloor as we try to sail forward. It puts a damper on our credit rating, which forces us to pay for almost everything in cash. It diverts revenue, which would be going to pay for current and news and new activities, which distorts our budgeting process and stunts any meaningful strategic development and planning. Further reluctant resistance to make admittedly unpalatable settlements with certain creditors will just delay the inevitable and no reduction in ultimate total outlays. Financially speaking, versus politically or ideology would be. It would be best just to hold our noses, swallow the pill, and get rid of this debt as soon as possible so we can financially and figuratively close the books on this episode in the Foundation's history. Finance Committee. On May 20th, 2002, the Interim Pacifica National Board Finance Committee held its first conference call meeting to discuss issues concerning the professional service debt and to give guidance to the executive officers on how to proceed. I would like to see the committee provide oversight planning and monitoring of the station's budgets in concert with the station's LAB finance committees. Under a new government structure, the creation of roles and duties of station LAB finance committees should be formalized. This would greatly aid the PNB in its oversight planning, monitoring, and analysis of financial data and issues, and precludes the necessity of seeking outside talent to provide these skills. There is enough talent within the Pacifica
family to manage our finances wisely. We should set up a structure to identify and use this talent. Finance office operations. The finance office currently consists of only four people: the controller, one accounts payable person, one cash management person, and one payroll management person. This office is woefully understaffed to efficiently manage our financial operations of an organization our size. At least two additional people need to be hired who can work with the accounts, general ledger, and cash management activities. Finance operations and policies still need to be formalized and put into operation. This includes determining the specific accounting code items and numbers, check writing and banking practices, documentation and oversight requirements, and other practices and procedures which should be standardized across the units. Once data from FY 2001 from the old accounting software has been fully converted into our new software, the office will have 2 years, 2001-2002, fully accessible, but much work still needs to be necessary to track down and reconcile old data preceding 2001, if really required. This may not be possible. Even if so, not an advisable utilization of this office's time, energy, and staff use. It is imperative that the current staff in the finance office be retained to perform these tasks, as well as buttress with new staff. The loss of institutionalized knowledge, and this is key, the loss of institutionalized knowledge of the accounting system, vendors, undocumented transactions, banking activities, et cetera, would make these tasks impossible. It will take a minimum, in my estimation, of at least 3 years to get the foundation financial operations developed to the level of sufficiency, efficiency, stability, and maturity to really accommodate just the current needs of the organization. This projection is with the assumption that our debt can be eliminated within the next two fiscal years and that no new catastrophes plague us. And though some of those could be if the transmitter in PFW blows up and we take down all the other stations on that tower and we become liable for them, and that's a real possibility because we went off the air in PFW, as Tony said, twice in May. This is also with the assumption that a new governance management structure per the settlement agreement is achieved, which doesn't impede the financial and day-to-day operations of the foundation through this period. Because of these factors, the decision to move the finance office from D.C., quote, when feasible, should be rescinded until such time as efficient financial operations or financial stability of the foundation has been demonstrably achieved, and there is a clear requirement to do so. The resolution made in March in L.A. to move the office was physically and operationally imprudent. It not only went against the recommendation of the February 2002 accounting report of Ross Wisdom to not disrupt the financial operations of the foundation, but also because of the very precarious financial health and stability and even continuity that we need from staff. The decision was made with no assessment of its financial and operational impact on the foundation as a whole. Any disruption of the financial office personnel and operations would not be in the best interest of the foundation anytime soon. Fundraising and fundraising drives. Presently, the foundation receives about 85% of its yearly revenue from the station's listener fund drive. Corporation for Public Broadcasting, CPB grants that typically have accounted for about 10% of our operating revenue, basically $1 million, 1.2. We need to make the fund drives more efficient at each station so that the net realized revenue or the fulfillment revenue is higher. This can be immediately achieved by reducing the number of vendors used, replacing them with PRA-provided items, and reducing the reliance on premiums. And we've already begun to do that. We also need to create an efficient way to use our web presence for generating and collecting revenue. In addition, we need to develop alternative streams of regular revenue to not only take the stress off the listener fund drive, but to also raise more revenue on a regular basis in order to fund more programs and other foundation activities. This would be the primary function of a national development office / director. National office staffing. There is a definite need for office staff to service the activities of the Pacifica National Board. This staff would organize the meetings, make travel arrangements, transfer communications to PNB members, some who are not on the Internet, compile PNB meeting packages, compile distribute committee reports, minutes, act as contact points for the board from outside, for outside entities, etc. There's also another whole set of activities which can only be performed effectively, efficiently and effectively at the national organizational level, which need to be established and funded. One, national program director. This position activity would include developing network programs, national day of programming, affiliate relations and program distribution, working with the IMCs and other potential external program content provider and other related matter. Also, this position was a hot item, number 5, on the settlement agreement. 2, Office of Technical Operations and Development. This would include maintaining our radio infrastructure, transmitter and generator, et cetera, and staying abreast of requirements and technology in radio, digital, low power, and ultra wideband. Also, developing, operating, and maintaining a first-class, secure, and robust information technology infrastructure, an IT infrastructure. This would include our internet presence, internal email and communication services such as internal chat rooms and so forth, and data collection. Also, creating and maintaining a database base of members, a national database of members, is necessary to facilitate voting, LAB needs assessment, fundraising, and et cetera. 3, National Development Director. This position activity would be a full-time focused on fundraising and endowment building. This would include fundraising for targeted projects such as transmitter upgrades and repair, building funds to have all our stations in foundation-owned property, and non-radio mission-based activities like scholarships and internship programs that our mission statement and our Articles of Incorporation speak of. Strategic planning. The foundation currently does no real strategic planning to expand or improve in any significant way. The last significant act of strategic planning was the application to the FCC in 1968 to acquire the station in Washington, WPFW, which took 9 years to achieve. In other words, it took 9 years from the application for WPFW to go on the air in 1977. It is imperative that the foundation engage in real strategic planning and provide the financial resources to do so in at least the following areas. A, broadcast development. Assessment and development of emerging broadcast technology, such as low power, community radio, digital radio transmission, and ultra wideband, must be planned for. B, endowment funds and or contingency funds. Capital to buy station buildings, major capital equipment purchases, transmitters, and scholarship funds. C, license purchases. Expanding this broadcast operation through future license fees, purchases, and partnerships. D, printing publishing. Expand revenue and social mission through a Pacifica Press. There is technology which will be expanding and becoming cheaper, which allows for producing printed materials, books, paperback, pamphlets, on demand. E, strategic alliances. Creating, expanding common mission activities with like-minded charities, organizations, and non-governmental organizations to fulfill the complete mission and achieve economies of scale in product purchasing and professional services. To summarize, the foundation continues to move forward financially toward financial stability, but should not be considered fully recovered from the Pacifica Wars. We have been able to reduce the projected yearly debt cited in the February 9, 2002 accounting report by over 50% to under presently $2 million in litigation debt, and have greatly reduced the past operating debts at the station. In fact, we are, for all intents and purposes, operating in the black at the station level. This has been done primarily due to generous support of Pacifica listeners during the past 2 fund drives in February, March, and May and June. It is imperative that we learn and act to operate the foundation in a more efficient and effective fiscal manner. This is especially important as we try to create a new governance structure for the future to operate under. Hopefully, we will be able to work over our differences and distrust and build and operate the foundation in the totality of its original vision, to make not only Pacifica the organization it should be, but also the country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open for questions.
Thank you, Jabari.
I'm open for questions.
Are there questions for Jabari now? I mean, we're also going to hear from our controller and the auditor. So, but if there are particular questions for Jabari, and then we'll hear their reports, and then we'll open it up for discussion.
I have a quick question, Jabari, and you might not know about it, but the issue that was brought up with KPFA when somebody contacts them and says, I need $60,000, I suppose that's because they are operating in the black, but how do you work around that, or do we need to take that up with the Ross?
Well, what...
Or Dan.
What has been happening is that the stations are the primary generators of revenue at this time through the fund drive. And the stations are the ones that where we receive most of our revenue from. But we have national needs that have to be met. We have a $200,000 to $250,000 biweekly, every 2 week payroll. And when we have shortfalls, then we have to use money wherever it exists within the foundation to meet these shortfalls. In fact, that's what we've been doing for ever since I've been here the first 5 months. We still haven't gotten to the stability yet where we don't have these crises, and because we're not operating on a strict budget, we have to do these from time to time. What we're trying to do is give the stations warning and create an understanding of where the money is. Yasmin and through Dan are trying to smooth this process out. And they will be making, you know, we'll be getting more of that under the audit and budgeting.
Let me just clarify something or ask for a clarification. It's my understanding that when you say the biweekly payroll, that's not just for the national staff. That's for,
for everybody.
For everybody. So when the stations don't pay their own the salaries to their own individual staff people, that's paid by through the national process and the national payroll paying process.
Leslie?
Understand that. Okay, Ray was next and then George.
Jabari, on page 5 here, there's a very important statement, third paragraph, that when we voted to move the finance offices from D.C. to Berkeley, that we're endangering the stability of the foundation, even though we're doing it when feasible. Is that a proposal that there be a discussion of this issue right here tonight, or during this meeting period?
I'm bringing it up because as I'm trying to bring forward, we don't have enough staff as it is. The staff is overworked, and if this move is made, we will more than likely lose all the staff. And we can move the computers and we can move the software and we can move the data, but we won't have realistically anybody to operate the stuff. And that loss of operation has already occurred once when they moved everything from LA, where the finance office was, to DC. And as has come up with the issue of the ED search and other elements, we recognize that stability and continuity at this particular time in our history is tantamount, is necessary. And I'm just throwing it out there that we need to really assess that from the point of view of the operational impact on the foundation. And that's why I'm bringing it up. And I want to get that discussion going. So I think we need to rescind that and rethink that. And at least we need to make a more formal assessment of the impact of it.
Actually, you're suggesting that we amend it rather than rescind it. An additional condition be put stating that when such a financial state of health be achieved, that the move be allowed at that point, rather than rescinding the whole resolution.
That's why I'm bringing the discussion up. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm making the issue an issue that we should discuss.
Okay, might I suggest so that we not have that discussion yet, that we hear what other questions there are, and then hear the report from our controller and auditor, and then there's a whole lot of issues that need to be discussed.
Right.
So
sure.
We'll just put that on the list.
Right.
Okay, so George is next.
Yes, Jabari, it's George Barnstone. You said there's a biweekly payroll of $250,000. At the same time, you said that the stations are running autonomously. At least that's not what I interpreted what you said financially. How much is the national office paying, one, for payments that stations aren't making to their own staff, but then two, to the national staff?
Each station is supposed to fund their own payroll. There's a national account for payroll, so each station is supposed to deposit money into, money from each station is deposited into a national account, and payroll is made, or payroll is processed for all employees throughout the network from the national office. So when a station doesn't or can't or whatever issue arises, there is not enough money to pay for the full national payroll, and each station also funds the operation of the national staff because the national staff doesn't have a revenue generating component to it presently. So when these kinds of shortfalls occur presently, and they were occurring all the time, you know, from January through March until we went through our first fund drive, we have had to use money from wherever it came from to make sure payroll is met. That's our number one priority, is to make sure everybody gets paid every 2 weeks. Now, payroll is going to increase. We have all of these staffing needs that all the GMs and people have been saying we need more people, so payroll will be increasing.
Okay, but yeah, but you really haven't addressed my question, and that is, how much is National paying out in monies that are not already put up by the local stations?
Maybe Yasmin can answer. Maybe we can ask our controller. For those of you who haven't met her yet, this is Yasmin Bryan, our controller in Washington office, and she's being joined also by Ross Wisdom, who's the independent accountant doing the audit for us. So, Yasmin, do you want to try and answer this particular question?
Good afternoon, everyone.
I don't know if that mic is working.
Can you guys hear me?
Hold
it
closer.
Good afternoon. No?
It's on. You have to talk right into it.
Yeah. Okay, just for me to clarify, how much the national payroll costs on every 15th of the month. Currently, the national is paying for the payroll for Democracy Now! And the balance of the sovereign package for Pacifica News. The payroll for the 15th of June was $30,000. The national office, we do a daily cash flow. When I know that we're not going to meet payroll, I basically make a call to the other stations and ask them if they could fund the national payroll for the upcoming payroll. So basically, I try to have a conversation with the business managers, probably I would say a week or 2 weeks in advance. The money is then dispersed from the station and deposited directly into the payroll account to pay for the payroll for the national office, Democracy Now!, and Pacifica News.
My question has still not been answered.
How much?
And that is,
how much does it add up to?
No, it's not the question.
Okay.
Are we getting the monies from all the stations to fund their own payrolls? One,
yes.
And then two, how much are we spending on national office payrolls?
The national office payroll is currently running $23,000 per pay period, and each station is paying their own payroll.
So it's $23,000. We're dividing that by five, maybe. And I mean, how are we getting that from the stations? Because we're not producing any income ourselves.
Based on the total cost of the payroll for that particular payroll period, I then request money from, could be WBAI, KPFA, or K. They then wire transfer the money directly into the payroll account. The payroll is paid from one account. Each station deposits their money directly into that payroll account to cover the cost.
How do you determine whether to tap one source or another?
Based on the daily cash flow that we have available to us on each day of the week.
Based on that we have, or based on the money that the station has? I mean, for example, why get money from KPFA versus KPFT versus one of the other stations? What makes you decide which station to go to?
It's based on the bank, the book balances. Also, too, let's also keep in mind, because we have not finished yet with the audit for fiscal 2001, we have not allocated any central services from October through present. So, and it's just basically based on the balance of the cash from each station.
George, whoever has the most money in it, basically, at the time that they need to get it, basically.
Okay. Maybe can we move in? Oh, you have a question for Jabari?
Leslie?
Okay, question for Jabari. Again, I want to remind people, we want to get the two reports, and then I'm sure we'll have many more questions.
Dave Pritik. Jabari, I just had a question with regards to your recommendation about reducing reliance upon vendors, and I guess by that you mean purchase premium items to be used in fundraising. Have you discussed this with any of the fundraising people at the various stations to get a sense of how that felt, that it would be impacted?
I haven't personally discussed it with all the business managers. One of the things I want to do, and I've kind of been delaying this until we get our audit report, but one of the good things that we have done, we've had that initial meeting with the finance committee. A lot of the stuff I want to bring up with the finance committee and disseminate it down through the local advisory board finance committees and things like that. I want to start creating a distributed kind of hegemony around these issues, so that we can bring everybody into the mix of these things like that.
Okay, I think we should discuss, and I think I would like to see the community and the stations discuss, really make an analysis of the impact of the user premiums, whether it's a benefit and to what extent we can or should change our reliance upon them.
Yeah, I mean, I think based on many things that I've been hearing that and seeing the response from the fund drives, that I think we can The bottom line in our fund drives is not how much money you have pledged, but how much you have left over after you subtract all your expenses. And that's the key money, the fulfillment, the net fulfillment revenue, and not just the gross pledge amounts. It doesn't do you any good to have a $900,000 pledge drive and spend $120,000 in expenses to do it. We need to get our fund drive expenses down to less than 10% of our amounts.
If that will work, yeah. Anyway, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Leslie?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, first of all, let me commend Barry on this report, but I get the impression that there's no equitable way that the national budget is funded. That is, each station, it seems to me, ought to be asked to give a certain percentage towards the national budget. And I don't get the impression that that's happening. So is it happening, Yasmin? Do we get?
You're correct. We have not received any money for central services from any of the stations.
Why don't we do that?
We're in the process right now finishing up all the information for the fiscal 2001 audit. Basically, we haven't had the time. The accounting staff have been putting all their effort into getting the information to Ross so he can complete the fiscal 2000, and we should have a beginning balance of everything that we have owed each station. I do believe by the time I've reconciled the central services, the national office probably will not owe that much money to the station based on the amount of the 20% of the listener support from each station.
Can I just throw in something?
Leslie, in terms of that, though, seems to me that what's happening now is that there's some inequality going on, and some stations are being asked to give when they probably shouldn't be, only it's necessary to do so, and that's not fair. I don't know what it would take. It seems to me it wouldn't take a lot of time to say if the national office budget is $300,000 a year, I'm just saying for instance, BAI, because you have more fundraising capacity, you give 30%, WPFW do 20%. That shouldn't take a lot of effort, should it?
Right now, with first of all, we're still playing catch-up in the new system, which is Great Plains. When all of the stations have fully recorded all their transactions and their revenue, producing a report from Great Plains will be very simple, and it probably should only take us probably about 10 minutes just to calculate the 20% of the listener support. In reference to the reconciliation, we have to go back from October of 2002, we have to find all the transactions, basically all the money that each of the station has dispersed in the national office. We have to get that total, then we have to reconcile it to see exactly how much was paid to the national office from the station, and then we have to get the 20% amount from the listener support, and that's when the reconciliation will be done.
So the goal is that each station will contribute 20% of the national budget.
Of their
that
budget.
Is correct. Except for K.
No, the stations will, each local listen area will contribute 20% of the national office's budget.
No, is it
no,
20%
not
of
exactly.
their
budget?
The only source.
Let me clarify. No, I know
station,
what I'm saying.
Each station would be, that be like a tax, a levy on each station. 20% of their budget.
Yeah, of their
so
budget.
So if one station has a $100,000 budget, $20,000, if my math is right, goes to the national. If another station has a $1 million budget, then it would be whatever the math is.
What
is that? 20% of whatever the
Leslie, it seems to me that that's not the way.
That's the system that we have now.
Well, I think we need to change
it, but that's the system
well,
that we have.
It now. Seems to me that if the national budget says $100,000, that each listen area ought to be required to put up a certain percentage of that $100,000.
Right.
Not based on their 20%, but based on, you know, some formula that says WBI can do more than 20%, do 25% of the national budget. WPFW can do 10% of the national budget. Where are you doing
okay,
it now?
Let me just suggest that this is an issue that needs first discussion by this board.
Right.
What the percentages are. It needs discussion by the board and with the station managers and business people and the local boards, too, to understand that. But what we were doing is explaining what the system has been passed and what we, in order to move some money into the national pocket of money, pool of money, I think the idea was to do that again, understanding that the actual formula might change.
What's our time frame for trying to get this resolved and get it actually carried out?
I don't know that we have a time frame, but can I just ask another related question
okay.
to this? This question, Yasmin, my understanding was that you said that you asked the stations separately, because they seem to have more cash in their accounts when you need money. I thought you said specifically to help with payroll.
It is for just strictly for payroll.
Okay. What happened? I'm confused at how the national office is paying the rent and paying the electric bill and paying the other bills related to the national travel, this meeting this weekend. Where is the money coming from to pay those other bills?
We also have other income, which is called the SCA income. We get probably about $35,000. In the national office, trust me, we spent very conservatively. And also, too, Dan and Verna, they have been doing some small, getting small grants from, some of the organizations. And the $400,000 that we had received in February, I kind of put that away and tried to make sure the rent is paid, the electric is paid. So I was able to probably stretch that out for 3 months.
Leslie, where does the money from the Corporation for Public Broadcast go? Who gets it and who spends it?
I'm sorry, could you clarify that?
You know, we get how much we get a year. We get
Corporation.
Okay, that's the difference. Are you talking in reference to the CPB?
Yeah.
How is that money?
That goes to the stations.
Goes to the stations?
Those monies are generated by the stations through grants.
Okay, may I just, comment on that, please?
Yes.
We are in the process of getting the balance of the CPP money. We get about $1.2 million. And the money normally goes directly to the station. Because we were in a financial crisis, we still have a balance of about $375,000 to be received from the CPP grant. Because we have not yet completed the audit for fiscal 2001, that money will not be dispersed until we have gotten an audited financial statement. When that is completed, we will then do a final report, submit it to CPB, and it's probably going to take them around 2 to 3 weeks to review. So we are targeting that cash flow early September of this year.
Leslie, finally, it seems to me that, and I want to commend the staff for doing it this way, but we're in sort of a situation where the national office does not have a resource base.
That is
and
correct.
Catch can. And I don't think we ought to continue that much longer. I know the staff done the best they could. I commend them for that. But the national office has to have a resource base,
right,
whether it comes from the stations, a portion comes from CB, the Corporation Public Broadcast or something. But that would be part of our goal, is to the national office to get a budget, as well as the five stations, as well as the archives, as well as Democracy Now! I see we've got an agreement here. And so that every entity has a resource base. Now, the station's main resource base is listeners. And a portion of the listeners' money ought to go to the national office, too, not much.
Okay, we have Rob and Carol. And then again, I'm going to take Rob and Carol, and then I want to see if Yasmin has anything else to add, and then Ross, and then we'll have more discussion.
The second part of our mission, as defined in the Articles of Incorporation, is that Pacifica activities should be self-sustaining.
Thank you.
Currently, we have three functional components of Pacifica. We have a foundation that doesn't raise money, we have a national media network that produces one program, and we have a collective of five stations. At this point, the station's listeners provide funding for almost all activities of the Pacifica Foundation. What we're talking about is that if we properly fund, if we have a foundation that generates revenue and allocates it, if we have national programming that creates programming that supports listener revenues, for example, Amy Goodman's show Democracy Now! Accounts for a great deal of the money that's raised in each one of the five program areas. I don't think we should expect Democracy Now! To fund everybody. We should have more programs. We should have more national programming. In order for us to get to that point, we must find a way to invest in it. In the same way that Brian DeShazer explained that in order to get the archives to the point where it's really going to be able to generate a lot of money for Pacifica in terms of creating a basis for the fundraising, for the promotionals, we may have to invest millions of dollars to bring the archives up to snuff. We've also heard from Dan Coughlin and others that we do not invest in our physical plants. We have not invested in our technical and technological facilities. In many cases, we haven't invested in our human resource infrastructure, certainly at the national programming level. One of the things that Jabari's report is saying is that we must have independent revenue-generating capacity within the foundation, within the national programming, as well as within the local stations. What we're arguing about now is how to spread the money from the local station operations, from the listeners, throughout the network. And in reality, while the money that's raised from the individual station operations can fund those individual station operations, it cannot also fund capital improvements for technical and physical infrastructure, healing the archives, creating national programming, and the other activities that are clearly contemplated in the mission. So one of the things that I suggest this board should be talking about, and we agreed to do that in our retreat, is trying to look at how we can put some energy into really making the operations develop benefits for the rest of Pacifica. But we have to look at how to see that those activities are properly funded. Self-sustaining doesn't mean there's just one and only one source of revenue. That's what we're doing now. We're cutting off the air. We're going through hypoxia because the local station revenues can support local station operations, but they can't support other areas where we do not have any funds invested.
Okay, thank you. Carol?